at times it's becoming farcical. You have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form. This is not a Lions tour as we know
it. For the best Lions coverage this summer, subscribe to the OTB Rugby podcast stream on the OTB Sports app.
But I'm delighted to say Anne Downey and Kieran Carey are with us. We'll start with you, Anne. Good morning to you. How are you getting on?
I'm great. Thanks very much. And yourselves?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, that was definitely one of the best hurling matches that I think, as Munster finals, it's an instant classic. And I think it's one of those games that we talked about for years and years to come. But it felt like we were watching two brilliant teams playing at the absolute peak of their powers, particularly in the first half. Tipperary were absolutely sensational, and in the second half Limerick were as good as they've been. So how do you draw lessons from that, and what do you make of where both teams are now?
Oh, look, I'm still exhausted after watching the game. I mean, for the first 17 minutes, the first water break, it just went so quickly. The game was end-to-end stuff. You know, I suppose you'd be watching games before and you'd be looking at the watch and it's nearly coming up to a water break. And the next thing we were on, 17 minutes. And it was unbelievable the way that Tipperary were playing. And, as Henry said, all they have to do is tip over 10 pints and they're home and dry. The 226 is going to win any game. And they ended up only scoring 321. But I suppose, the heat, you'd have to take off your hat to every team that went out over the weekend in the conditions and to produce such a game, especially, with Limerick playing so badly in the first half and to come out and give that sort of performance. They're tackling, they're hunting, they were still full of running at the end of the game. Unbelievable. And anyone that was lucky enough to be at the game to see that live, it was a special place to be. Kyle Hayes' goal, will we ever see the like of it again? He was after doing the same, I suppose, the last day, scored more or less. He's making a habit of it. That's his second goal, I suppose, in two matches. But yesterday, it's come from deep in his own defence and run the length of the field and put the ball in the back of the net the way he did. It's, it'll never be matched and hasn't been matched. And I think even all our greats in Kilkenny that have gone before us, I don't know, have they scored a goal like it?
The fact that all the goals that we're seeing scored at the moment, and even one of the goals of the weekend was a tap-in after a shot from quite far out, kind of makes the decision about that the referee made, this is a goal scoring opportunity. It's basically a goal scoring opportunity in hurling at the moment, anywhere inside the 45. Players are so good, is my point.
And are you speaking about the opportunity with
a couple of weeks ago? Yeah.
The
controversial red card is like, in fairness.
Look, we could. I don't think you can revisit that scenario. I think the whole country knows. A yellow card, but I didn't really think it was a penalty, to be quite honest. Aidan McCarthy, he's a brilliant player. I thought Clare were very hard done by on the day, to be honest. Wouldn't you say the same thing that happened, with Rory when he was brought down for the Wexford and they're all saying that the hurl went back up to his face and it ran up along his own hurl, but it was a goal scoring opportunity as well, and the same with the Clare full forward, so there's things and routes roundabouts on it. That day against Clare and Tip, I just felt that Aidan McCarthy just overcommitted himself, and his run kind of, I know he took the legs from under the chap, but yellow card, but not a penalty for me anyway.
You were watching this game on the Limerick Tip game. Am I right in saying the Kyle Hayes goal comes after the water break? Just after the water break, was that? So the water break was supposed to come at the time to give Tipperary the opportunity for a breather, and then Kyle Hayes did that straight away.
Sorry, I don't know.
The water break was, it was just after the water break, wasn't it?
I thought so, yeah. I thought the water break.
Yeah.
And even with that, that couldn't stop Limerick's momentum.
I think, again, I was looking at Liam Sheedy on the line at half time, and I think that sort of raw emotion that he was showing is best kept for the dressing room. If I was a player playing against Tipperary yesterday and I saw that when I was going in at half time, I was saying to myself, this is not going to happen for the second time. I know Liam is full of emotion on the line, and he plays every ball with the lads, but Limerick just came out a different machine in the second half. They were just so up for the game. They probably knew in their heart and soul that they were after giving too much space, especially to Jason Ford. I mean, Jason has scored, I think, 11 points, and 9 of those were from play. How did that happen, you know, against the great Limerick team? How was he allowed that freedom, you know, to do that? And he was bossing the play, and Bobbles at that stage, you know, he was after missing 3 points. I know he scored 1-2 before half time, but at the same time he was missing vital scores, and Tipperary could have been so much farther ahead. And you know, just show the real character of this this Limerick team. You know, they never panic. They're well able to find one another. The tackles that they put in the second half, they tackled, you know, if a Tipperary player had the ball, there was 2 or 3 Limerick guys on him, not letting them get the shot in, you know, hounding them down. And it was, I think, 14 or 15 minutes into the second half before Tipperary scored their first point. And even at that, Jason Ford's first shot on goal in the second half, he drove it wide. So there was the pressure already. They knew, Tipperary knew, that Limerick weren't going to die down. And it took them so long, you know, to get their opening score in the second half. Just a measure of the work that Limerick, you know, were going through. And of course, Keane Lynch in the centre of the field, you know, he just throws caution to the wind. He looks for the ball, and he's not a bit selfish, throwing it off to the best lad in the position. And it's all about the team. And, you know, I just love the energy that he brings to a team. And just unreal game in the second half, especially. Well, for Limerick's point of view, but I haven't said that, you know, I enjoyed the way that Tipperary attacked as well. And they were all talk about maybe that some of the guys were a little bit over the hill. Certainly in the first half, it didn't show that. Having said that, I suppose Shamie Callanan did have one of his quieter days. Maybe didn't get an awful lot of ball into the full forward line, but there's definitely more in Shamie.
Kieran Carey's with us now. Good morning to you, Kieran.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You must be delighted with that. What a performance from Limerick.
Yeah, without a doubt. I suppose it's one of those special ones of the finals, really. And you could sense in the first quarter, this was a proper provincial final, tit for tat, score for score, a few wides from both sides. And, you know, as the game manifests itself, then, you know, it was super to witness at number one. And, you know, number two, I suppose, Limerick found themselves positioned yesterday that they never used themselves. So it's a huge ask. And I just we were chatting and said, you know, we're still a chance to put Tipperary in the back foot from the goal in the second half.
Just having a few small issues with your line there, Kieran, will give you another buzz there. And I like you mentioned there that Limerick didn't really panic yesterday. I guess in one way there was kind of a serenity about how they performed in the second half, but there was also this manic aggression about them. Is there a slight difference there when you're coaching a team to try and keep them calm, to ensure that they don't panic, but to also kind of G them up, to also ensure that they come out and show something in the second half?
Well, you know, you have to have the killer instinct, to be quite honest, you know, and you have to be ruthless, and you have to do whatever it takes to win. It's as simple as that. And, you know, I suppose you could see Seamus Flanagan and Keane and the chest pumping, you know, at one stage after they got a great score. And, you know, you just have to, you know, you leave everything on the pitch. There was no point in Limerick going into the dressing room and feeling sorry for themselves at half time, being 10 points down, you know. And they decided, look, let's have a go at it. And that's what they certainly did. And, I would imagine it is probably the first time in a long time that they have found themselves in that position. And we were all speaking about the 30-something goals that they were, or points that they were scoring every match and winning games. But, you know, they proved yesterday too that they're well able to take their scores. And, of course, Flanagan is a huge man on the edge of the square, you know, and full of running as well for a big chap, and well able to take his points. But, you know, he's every time he has the ball, he's looking for a goal, and that's it. You know, it's a hard job for anyone to try and keep tabs on him. But overall, you know, I just thought, Garrod Hegarty in the first half, to me, you know, I said to Angela here, you know, Garrod looks, I won't say disinterested, but just didn't, I suppose, know or wasn't able to get up to the pitch of the game, but by God, did he get up to the pitch of the game in the second half. He put in, a ferocious performance. And that was maybe testament too to the way that Tipperary were working in the first half. You know, Tipper doing to Limerick what Limerick usually do to every team. But as I said, the heat, you know, fair play and hats off to all of them that took the field at the weekend, you know, to be able to, to stay going for the 70 minutes and more, you know. And I suppose at the end of the day, it really, that's what told, you know, Limerick had the strength and the conditioning and the fitness maybe and a little bit of the youth to sustain that heat that was in it yesterday. Certainly, I thought that Liam might have introduced some of the young players from the Tipperary team earlier. They came on, young Keown came on, got a great goal, but he wasn't on long enough to make any real impact. Same with O'Connor. I think Tip will learn from it. You know, maybe do what Kilkenny are doing, you know, start the younger lads and let them put in a few of the hard knocks for the first half an hour and then introduce, you know, the great ball players and forwards that they have, you know. But it's certainly, you know, again, Liam will learn a lot from the defeat. He won't be happy, you know, the manner that they lost, having been up so many points at 10 points at half time and taking so long to score their next point in the second half. He'd be disappointed with that, but there's a lot of lessons to be learned from it.
Kieran, I know you're back with us there. Last year you were on with us describing Limerick potentially as the Dublin of hurling. Very Dublin-esque, the brutality in that second half.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I suppose before there was any ball thrown in, I turned around and I said to my friend of mine, I said, Limerick are already up, or Tipper up 1-0 tactically. And he said to me, how do you mean by that? And I was just watching the warm-up, you know, and any time they got any chance at all, they were over in the shadow underneath the far stand, and even for Aron Levine. So, you know, that could, you know, they sent out a huge message there that they were fully tuned in. And I suppose, you know, the Munster final 2 years ago and last year, Limerick, I suppose, you know, gave Tipperary a bit of a hide, and it was obvious they were going to throw the kitchen sink at them yesterday in the first quarter and the second quarter. I just felt, you know, probably our defence didn't get the protection that they usually get in the half forward line and midfield. And, you know, a lot of games are won and lost at half time. And, you know, they obviously looked the best. And Limerick came out. They came out a totally different team altogether. Came out like a team possessed. And, you know, men for men, every one of them did their job in the second half. And I suppose, you know, Keane Lynch was the one player, I suppose, when they were under pressure, that he was kind of keeping them in the game. Anytime he was on the ball, there was a free, or else he was creating a score. And I suppose if you look at Kyle Hayes and Keane Lynch yesterday, you know, there's certain coaches that you can coach to certain players. But Kyle Hayes' goal yesterday was an actual instinct. And, you know, Keane Lynch, anytime he's on the ball, you know, if there's three or four around him, his vision gets better. So the more he's under pressure, the better he gets. But overall, yesterday, the second half performance was, you know, outstanding. And as I said earlier on, it's the first time, and you know, the answer was hugely yesterday with the second half performance.
Would you have any concerns about how slow they were at the start, Kieran, or do you just put that down to the fact of the history of the occasion, the three in a row, Tip better use of the shape? Like, you know, nothing. It was environmental and circumstantial yesterday. It's not something that you would be worried about going forward.
I wouldn't know, but yesterday, you know, when you take all the elements into consideration, you know, I had a good look at Park Peak yesterday. It was like an oversized tennis court. You know, it's nearly astroturf hurling down there, and you have the heat on top of that. And as I said, of all the teams in the last 3 or 4 years, the one team that were at the end of a few hidings is Tipperary, and obviously they were going to come out at Limerick with everything yesterday. And, you know, especially their six forwards, they were running all over the place yesterday, and, you know, probably bamboozled their defence. And, you know, and I suppose home in on the number of jersey that you're wearing, you know, that doesn't even come into the modern game. And I suppose, you know, half time came at the grouped, and, you know, they just went back to the old style hurling the last 3 or 4 years. More with composure, managed every ball, didn't fumble any ball. You know, Barry Nash was outstanding through the whole hour. And, you know, obviously Morrissey and Aaron Gillan, when they both came on, you know, they came on at the right time, just before half-time. They settled out ship. and they met at half time, and you know, they came out just a totally different team altogether. Well, the team of old that we know. And from the word go, they put him on the back foot, and even the subs that came on, the minute they got the ball, you know, they took it to the, they took the game to Tipperary. Pat Ryan came on, left Treven behind, and Deva Reedy came on, did the same, got two old scorers. So, you know, they knew what they were doing. They knew there were a few fellas that in defence for Tipperary, if you run at them, you're going to cause them to the hassle. And, you know, tactically, they just nailed it in the second half.
Are there any matchups that would be uncomfortable for this Limerick team of the teams who are left? I guess, who do you not want in an All-Ireland semi-final at this point, Kieran?
They're halfway too. You know, there was a little bit a weeks ago. There's only four games to win, jump each fence as it presents itself. And if you do that, you're All-Ireland champions. You know, outside of winning the Munster Championship in a three in a row, I suppose nearly every time they go out, they're making their own bit of history, whether it's matches or
we're just having trouble with that line there, so we let that go. Kieran Carey, thanks for joining us this morning. And Downey, you're still with us. I did want to chat to you briefly about the situation in the Wexford-Clare game. Again, this was one of those matches where, because it's do or die, there was a whole heap on the line. Clare came absolutely roaring out and essentially built up just enough of a lead to keep Wexford at bay. But you'd have to wonder what would have happened if Wexford had gone at them from the start and what kind of a game we might have had. So where are Clare now? Are they realistic contenders? Are they a live team who would fancy their chances against anybody at this point?
Yeah, I would imagine that any team left in the hat this morning really want to try and avoid Clare. They seem to be getting better with every game, and that, you know, when you go back to their first league and going up to Antrim and being beaten, and I think really from the league game with Kilkenny, it was a right ding-dong battle, and while Kilkenny at the time didn't really like losing the game, I think their selectors and everything, you know, it gave them the opportunity to reevaluate their situation, and Kilkenny learned a lot from that lesson, and Clare have moved on and pushed on, and you know, Tony Kelly, probably a great, brilliant, absolutely outstanding player, growing in with every game, would probably won 10, 11, and he did the same at the weekend, but by his standards he was really quiet, and it was the likes of Aidan McCarthy, I really, you know, I think this young lad is a really fine hurler. David Reedy and Ryan Tyrrell had great games, and of course Dermot Ryan at number five, you know, that day against Kilkenny again from his own half back line, two great points, and he's doing that every match. They have a brilliant goalkeeper, you know, and you would say, you know, they were Wexford were 9 points down, you know, at the first water break, and maybe it was I won't say the whole occasion, but you know, that day in Croke Park, having to go the extra time and trying to get the bodies right in 2 weeks, you know. And just this whole fear maybe of going out of the championship, they really just didn't get motoring for a long, long time, and when they did, were probably unlucky that they didn't get a draw. And I suppose that's one thing that Brian Lone would look at, you know, how did we let it slip, why didn't we just keep putting the ball over the bar, did we not stay working as hard as we were working. I know Aaron Shanahan on the square was having a torrid time at full forward. You know, he's a ball winner. Was unlucky probably that he didn't get his penalty, and maybe could have got two penalties. But you know, I think they're a great side. Wexford will surely be disappointed after, you know, a great performance in Croke Park, and gone out of the championship now, you know. But certainly Clare, you know, they'll get better, they'll take great confidence, they'll look forward to the next day, they'll recover maybe the turnaround in the heat again. They probably won't be doing an awful lot, I would imagine, this week, but they're looking forward to this draw this morning to see who they're going to pull out of that.
Should Davey stay on?
Look, that's really, you know, Davey will know himself whether he should or not. I can't say that, and it really wouldn't be right for anyone else. It's up to Davey, it's his decision. It shouldn't be anyone else's decision, unless, of course, he sits down with the Wexford County Board and they have a chat, and he'll know in his heart and soul if he can get anything else out of these guys, and really, it'll be up to him.
I did want to ask you about the Kilkenny Camogie team. Obviously, always when you're the champions, you're there to be got at. And they had a tough old game at the weekend against Clare, eventually coming through by 6 points, 22 points to 16. I mean, it seems like this championship is full of teams who are at a fairly similar level. So we would expect plenty of close games as the season progresses. How are the Kilkenny team doing at the moment? And are they confident favourites for the rest of the year, do you think?
No, I would say that Brian is just, you know, looking at every game and taking, they never look past the first game, and their focus at the weekend was Clare. Clare had come down to Kilkenny last year and beat them in Nolan Park. So they knew, you know, that if they weren't tuned in, that Clare were going to, you know, really put it up to them. And Chloe Morey, like, she scored 11 points. And I know a person can't score or beat a team on her own. But Kilkenny, you know, they're motoring well. All the new girls that have come in, Mary O'Connell, and is really doing well. Denise, of course, you know, getting her usual 10 points, but I think one of those was only from play, and she's getting better as, you know, as she gets older. Katie Nolan had a brilliant game in the full forward line. Was unfortunate the referee had called her back when she had the ball stuck in the back of the net, but Kilkenny will be happy to have got over the first hurdle. You know, when you play your first championship game, it's important that you get the win regardless of what has gone before. I know they've won the league, and I know they won the All-Ireland last year, but this is a new championship. You know, there's Kilkenny are up there to be knocked, and they know that, and if they don't bring their A game, yeah, you know, they're going to be seriously punished. Again, going back to conditions, you would have to say never in my time did we have to play in such heat. You know, and I'm sure it was very tough on all the teams. And to overcome that, and, you know, and to get out of Clare to travel to 6 Mile Bridge for a 2 o'clock game, it's an early start. You're in the car, you know, it's 2 hours down, and you have to be there earlier than that, you know. So it's an early start for the Kilkenny girls, and Brian will be delighted, you know, to get off with a win and look forward to his game next weekend.
And Annie, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Lovely. Thanks. Bye.